Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 2012 alumnus recently took part in the behind the scenes of one of the largest televised events this February and is here to tell us about his experience. Ladies and gentlemen, and alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Matt Grant to the show. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be here.
Absolutely. And it's great to have another fellow communications alumni here on the podcast. So, Matt, we're just going to jump right into it. What have you been up to since you graduated from Misericordia?
Well, I've said this previously with like a couple other people that I've interviewed with for alumni things, but I've done right after I graduated, I worked on a lot of different reality shows, like Dancing with the Stars, So You Think You Can Dance, The Voice, just to name a few. And then I've done a lot of, I worked on a bunch of major motion pictures, namely Creed, Sully, Bridge of Spies, just to name a few there. And for the past 3 years, I've been working, I've been shifting my focus to sports, working as a utility for like all sorts of different sporting events. Like I just got back from Miami and I worked my third Super Bowl.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I worked on the drafts, and I actually just got confirmed to work my first Final Four in Atlanta later this year.
That's awesome. Now, for the viewers and the listeners of our podcast, what does it mean to be in your role exactly? I mean, everybody sees everybody what's in front of the camera, but I'm assuming you work behind the scenes. You work with a production crew. So kind of go into detail what exactly you do as your position.
So there's a lot of different functions depending on what position you're in. Like when I was a PA, it could mean anything. It could be helping the grip. It could be helping the production. It could be going on runs, getting like all sorts of like props and all sorts of different necessities for the cast and crew. And depending on like what production you work on, it also is like a different variations of similar tasks. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Now let's get back to your question about the position. So when I'm a utility for the Super Bowl, it could mean either working at the stadium. It could mean working at some of the studio shows. And basically what it entails is like maybe helping to build the cameras, helping to set up the monitors for the talent. If like you're on a handheld camera, you have to be coiling cable and giving them enough slack to move so they could get the proper shot for that particular focus. And it's different depending on, like I said before, it's different depending on the production.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, it really depends, because a lot of people, like I said, they don't see that, you know, they always see the results. They don't see the amount of time it goes into an actual production itself. Now, Matt, you were just saying to me that you recently were in Miami. I saw it personally from my own Facebook about our mass communications and design program posting about, you know, just about you getting on the plane and all that. Can you kind of talk about that experience specifically as far as, you know, how was it? You know, when we talk about Super Bowl, it is the, you know, one of the most watched programs on television during the year, at least for the United States. So kind of go in, you know, what was it like? How was it? Would you do it all over again? You know, kind of share your thoughts and feelings with us just from that experience alone.
Well, that experience alone, that was my third Super Bowl that I worked. So I had worked previously the Minnesota Super Bowl, and I had previously worked the Atlanta Super Bowl. So the last three Super Bowls. And I'll tell you this, Mike, it was truly an amazing, it's an amazing experience every year. Just because to me, like my philosophy with this business is that the learning never stops. Mm-hmm. So every shoot that I do, whether it be a Super Bowl, whether it be a draft, whether it be just a college or pro game in general, you always learn something new. And with the crew that I worked with, I got very it was a very comfortable for me to go, like I got a lot of confidence, like to know like what I have the confidence to know what I know and know what I need to get better at. So with this and like putting on like a major, like you said, a show that is broadcast all across the nation, all like one of the biggest broadcasts of the year. So I got to Miami, and by the way, I'm not sure how it is in Dallas, but like it was 70 degrees in January there in Miami. So to put that into perspective, like it was a very, very interesting transition to go from winter here in Pennsylvania to like a warmer climate in Miami in January, and then like coming back here is like it's like I got to get used to this again.
It was snowing in Dallas, mind you, when we were watching the Super Bowl, at least when
Right.
we were watching it. So I'm a little jealous as far as what exactly you were experiencing, but feel free to go on.
Right. So I'm a utility. I was a utility for this event, and basically, like what it entails is like we got production trucks. We got to make sure that we have power to broadcast the Super Bowl experience shows, the Radio Row shows, and the stuff at the stadium, and also South Beach, because I was with NFL Network. So there was also like Good Morning Football. There was opening night. There was all the pregame coverage at the stadium, all the Super Bowl experience stuff. And basically, we have like 4 days. We have like 3 or 4 days to prepare everything and make sure we got like the cameras all set up. We got the monitor set up, make sure we fax everything from our location to Culver City, where NFL Network is. And once like we get everything all set up, then we are ready to roll. And basically, from a utility standpoint, unless it's you're dealing with Steadicam and it's wired, then basically like in between takes, we just go out there and like see if there's monitors to be moved, there's like cameras that need to be moved for another shot. Because with that, with Super Bowl experience, for example, like people could be sitting on chairs in the main stage, and then they go to the game, and then for the next commercial, we change our setup. Like we'll go to one of the talent talking play by play on the like play by play on the game board, you know? And we like move the monitors, we move reposition the cameras, we make sure that the cables are not going to be a tripping hazard for our cameramen. And we just make sure that we're a small part of making sure that the big picture is executed properly.
Absolutely. And doing a little research, from Fox Sports, there was about 148.5 million people who watched at least part of the game for the Super Bowl. So, it's nice that you're hearing those numbers now instead of you setting up cameras and monitors for that angle situation. But
Right, because you have so much pressure on you that you're basically like, oh, I want to put on a good show. Oh, I want to put on a good show. And then you see that millions of people are going to be watching this, and they're going to be like, oh, what's wrong with the camera? Like something's wrong with the picture. What's going on over in and it's like you don't want to be that person. You want to make sure that the show is a success. And I think with us as the utilities, actually being a big part of the setup of the show and being a big part of the like breakdown of the show, that you it makes your comfort level goes high, and it makes you feel more and more comfortable that you're able to learn, and you have the time to like work on it and prepare and do things the right way and make sure nothing goes wrong.
Absolutely. And I think from a consumer perspective, you're watching from start to finish, but in reality, let's just say, I mean, for example, from the game to the halftime show, there's a lot of moving pieces to it. And meanwhile, everybody's talking about Shakira and J-Lo. Meanwhile, you guys put on that show, and that's why we're talking about it, is just those angles and those effects and those graphics that your team puts together is what causes to make those memories. And, you know, I think, at least in my opinion, you are considered to be one of those memory makers or those meme makers in 2020. But there's that exception to it that you bring those experiences to our home TVs and to whoever we're watching at our parties and our Super Bowl parties and anything like that. So it really brings the whole characters and pieces together into bringing this one fantastic piece of a production.
Exactly. And not to sound, at the risk of sounding cliche, we're all in this together. This is a huge production. A huge production with a huge crew, and there's like all like multiple pieces that need to work in order for the show to succeed. And, you know, a lot of it is very like it can exhaust you, but if you work hard and you have the right attitude, there's no reason why it can't be a success.
So I'm hearing Matt has proposed High School Musical to come back for the halftime show next year. So if anybody hears this now, I want you to know that Matt and I were the first people that said something about it. So mark that in your calendars, everyone, for next year, Super Bowl 2021.
Deal. Mark. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
Absolutely. Now Matt, We were talking about from the start to finish, you know, obviously for all of us, we kind of at the end of the game, which was a fantastic game, by the way, I'm sure you guys were jumping for joy when it was just the intensity of the game itself. But once the game was over, we were kind of all heading to bed and hopefully getting ready for work in the next morning. But, you know, kind of talk about breakdown and how long it took you guys to actually break down everything before you were able to say, yeah, I'm going to head back to PA.
Well, that's the funny thing, because like there's certain people that go to the stadium and there's certain people that do like the studio shows. I was in the latter category, and what just so happened to be for this particular Super Bowl, we struck everything at the convention center that night. So it was like multitasking between watching the Super Bowl and making sure that like we disconnect everything in the convention center properly. And we make sure that our cables go back to the trucks and the monitors go back to the trucks. And we got to make sure that everything's all present and accounted for.
And you never expect that from every, you know, failing to plan is failing to, wow, I can't believe I said, let me back that up. Failing to plan is planning to fail. that's how it is.
That's a good way to look at it. I've never used that as a quote for this business, but I think you've influenced me to use another quote like that for every gig I do from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Matt, when we're talking about quotes, when we're talking about things that we've learned from other people, we obviously got to go back to our roots. We obviously got to go back to where we first started our interest and our love, which is at Misericordia University. I just kind of want to hear about what, you know, Misericordia has helped you get to where you are today with your experiences.
And I'm going to answer this in a different way. It wasn't so much like how they helped me, but more so preparing me for like what my strengths would be and what like might not just be my thing, and like focus on the strengths going into my career.
Sure.
Like the big part of it is like I did the electives. Like I did the radio elective, I did the Cougar Cast elective, I did the print elective. And like going into it, I'll be honest, going into it, I wanted to be a disc jockey. I had my own radio show at Misericordia, Hump Day Rock Out with DJ Matty G.
That is quite the name. I have not heard of that. that's amazing. I might have to take that.
Because it was on a Wednesday. And then I was talking to like people like upper, like people higher up, like grade wise than me. And people were saying to me, like, not a lot of people do radio that much. And now mind you, this was a time before podcasts became like all the rage.
Absolutely.
Like, this was before, and like who would have thought podcasts would be so huge. And then that was like, okay, so why don't I like not put all my eggs in that basket and then focus more so with like the camera stuff and the print stuff. Like I wrote a lot for the Highlander. I did I worked on Cougar Cast. I actually was one of the first producers of, I don't know if they still have the show, but Misery Minute.
Okay. Yep. I understand what. Yep. I remember that.
I was one of the first producers of that. And basically it was a case of going outside my comfort zone and basically like figuring out what I could focus on. And that was a season. That was a great season. I had a great group of friends and a great group of classmates that I worked with and that helped me out immensely with like getting everything good. And I would check in with Dan Kimbrough periodically about like the graphics that are good to use and like is the script good to use. And basically like a lot of it I was in the thick of it all by like the thick of it all by myself. And then I had my excellent team of talent and cam op and what have you. And it was a great experience.
It definitely sounds like it was a fantastic experience. And kind of Matt, a follow-up question. What's one thing that you could take away from experiencing that or whatnot that carries on? I know you said it's a learning experience every day, no matter what situation you're in. But what's something that you took from Misericordia and brought it to, from the sets that you were working on, the TV shows, and to eventually these most watched shows of all time, such as the Super Bowl?
It was basically the attitude you take from working with like from working with all these people. And that is no matter what the circumstance, no matter what happens, always be your best self and always like have your best attitude, because a great attitude goes a long way in this business. If you go into something and you don't learn from it, then chances are you're probably not going to last. You gotta be in there through the thick of it all. You gotta be willing to do everything from the biggest task to the most mundane task. You gotta be ready to learn. You gotta be ready to work hard. And all in all, at least from my experience, like doing all the shows and all the sporting events that I've been working on, a great attitude goes a long way in this business.
I think that can go for, I mean, not just for the business that I could collectively say you and I that are in, but just anywhere in general, whether that's healthcare, the business world, anywhere. As long as you come in with a good attitude and you're able to work for it, I think certainly good things would happen to anybody who has a great attitude.
And this could be like a good lesson for the people that like the current students in Misericordia that could be thinking about a possible career in this field. That is like you're probably like I started out as a PA when I did my career, and I learned a lot like going through each and every department and like all the runners that I work with. Like I observe, I work, but I also observe like what to do, what not to do, and basically like I utilize that. And through the process, like I met like so many great people and that I still do work with to this day. And like when you and also that's another like great thing when it's like you work with people more than once and you still have like a connection and friendship with these people, like you're doing something right when you like have that kind of camaraderie with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I can completely relate to that now. Matt, we're talking about some connections and some people, and this is always the point in the podcast where I always, saying, you got this far to the podcast. Have you been in touch with any alumni recently? Have, anybody you want to shout out for this podcast that they'll want to listen to you as you talk about your experiences? Feel free to take this moment now, an opportunity to do so.
And it's funny 'cause like I've been in touch with a lot of my fellow Comm graduates, shout out Ms. 2012, Ms. 2012 Comm Department, shout out. I actually, one of them that I was good friends with, he actually was kind enough to let me crash on his couch for a few gigs when I worked in New York. And also, like, I'm starting to realize that, like, so many other people in the comm department actually live near me in Philly. So I've been doing, I meet them for Quizzo, like, almost every Wednesday.
and you actually, you attended our Misericordia Mile Tour in Manayunk, is that correct?
That's right.
So taking that opportunity as much as you can with our Misericordia alumni events and you know, just keeping in touch, whether that's crashing on a couch or finding each other, you know, time during the week to hang out with each other. So Matt, any final thoughts as we end this podcast?
And I also wanted to add, like, my roommates in college. I've been to a lot of concerts and I've been keeping in touch with them periodically. So
absolutely.
So that was good. And also, the one thing that I'll say about people that are maybe looking to get a career in this business.
Sure.
You never know when you're going to find that next big gig. So always be prepared for that and to be making contacts everywhere you go. Don't hold back.
That's a great way to end our podcast, Matt. And, you know, thank you so much for being with us again. And we really appreciate your time and best of luck on the next big gig.
Mike, thank you very much for having me. It was great.